please do take your seats. And as you take your seats, please pick up the church Bibles. We find them near you. And we're going to have our reading for tonight. It's taken from Luke's Gospel, which you'll find on page 1053, Luke chapter 19. Page 1053 in the church Bibles. And here we have the encounter of one man with Jesus, which George will speak on later. So Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1 on page 1053. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down and at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Look at that section of the Bible together just in a moment. So please do keep it open in front of you. Well, it's been a real pleasure tonight to be able to baptise both Naomi and Harrison. And so glad that you're able to be here to celebrate with them, particularly if you're friends and family, particularly if you've travelled a bit of distance to be here. We're really glad that you're able to be here tonight. So just in this last little part of our service, I want to look at this account that John has just read for us, looking at this account of the day that Zacchaeus met Jesus Christ. Both Naomi and Harrison have said tonight that not only have they heard about Jesus, but they know Jesus personally. And as we just have a little look at this story, I want us to see tonight the kind of people who get to know Jesus. We'll see the kind of connection that Jesus makes with us, and we'll see the kind of change that Jesus brings. So firstly then, the kind of people who get to know Jesus, I think we get to see here an unlikely inquirer. What do we know about this man, Zacchaeus? Well, firstly, verse 2 there says that we know his job. He was a tax collector. Now, apologies to anyone here who works for the Inland Revenue, but I guess if you're at a party and somebody asks you what you do for a living and you say you work in tax, that tends to be a little bit of a showstopper. Somebody politely moves on to chat to somebody else. I used to be an actuary. If you don't know what that is, come and chat to me on the door afterwards. But the old joke about the actuary was that you became an actuary if you found accountancy too exciting. So I do know what it is to have a job that makes people change the subject. But to be a tax collector at this time in Israel was not just an uninspiring job to have. It also meant that you were in league with the Roman occupiers. It meant that you passed money, taxes, from your countrymen to the enemy. So you were hated if you were a tax collector. And notice he's not just a tax collector, he is a chief tax collector. So if tax collectors as a whole were disliked, a chief tax collector would be absolutely despised. Notice as well, verse 2 tells us he was wealthy. Wealthy not just because he earned a good salary, but because the tax collectors were known for charging more money than they needed, and the extra that they would cream off for themselves. And it seems from the end of the story, Zacchaeus is well aware that he cheated people. So he probably was the most hated man in the town. Think kind of Ebenezer Scrooge in the town. This is the kind of guy he was, known for taking money away from people, mean and intensely disliked. And yet we read here, verse 3, that he wanted to see Jesus. But did you notice he had two problems as he came to do that? Verse 3 tells us two problems. First problem is he was short. He was vertically challenged. There's a little children's song that got sung in my church. I'm sure it would have been sung here. I'm sure some of the kids would have sung it. Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. I've always thought that chorus, it kind of rubs it in, doesn't it? That Zacchaeus. If you haven't yet got it, Zacchaeus is tiny. Great. That's great. I've always had a certain soft spot for Zacchaeus, not being... That chuckle was way too quick from the regulars. So his lack of height meant it was hard for him to see. And of course, the other problem is the crowd. That is the other problem. He couldn't see over the crowd. And of course, nobody is going to let Zacchaeus through to the front. No one's going to do him a favour, is there? Are they? 6'5" Benjamin could have let Zacchaeus stand in front of him, but he's not going to do that for Zacchaeus. That's not the case. I picture Zacchaeus sort of at the back of the crowd, like bouncing up and down trying to see, but the crowd just squeezing together so that Zacchaeus wasn't able to see. But there is one really positive trait about Zacchaeus, and that is he was resourceful. So verse 4, he runs ahead, he spots this sycamore tree, he climbs up into it so he can see Jesus as he walks by. And let's just think about this a moment before we move on with the story. Because Zacchaeus was really the last person that you expect to be interested in Jesus. But he was. And we don't know why. The text doesn't tell us why. Maybe it was just curiosity. Maybe it was intrigue. Maybe it was just that Jesus was like the local celebrity and he wanted to see him. Maybe he'd heard the news about what Jesus was saying and doing. Maybe he'd heard the whispers of the story that Jesus told, just recorded for us in the chapter earlier, about a tax collector who found favour with God. Whatever it was, he realised, this is somebody worth seeing. There is something unique about Jesus. And that day that Jesus walked through the town, he wasn't out collecting taxes. He was there to see Jesus for himself. And tonight, Naomi and Harrison have both spoken today about the fact that being a Christian is not about getting religious. It's about knowing a person. Knowing a person for themselves. It's about a relationship with the God who made them. It's knowing Jesus personally for themselves. And I want to encourage you tonight to discover Jesus for yourself, to come and see who Jesus is. This biography, along with three other biographies in the Bible, help us to do that. And when I say find out about Jesus, come and see Jesus, I don't mean like the way we might research the life of a significant historical figure, say somebody like a Winston Churchill. There's the Oscar-nominated film has been out recently. But to find out who Jesus is, because you can know him for yourself. And that doesn't matter who you are. Don't say tonight, well, Jesus isn't really for me. I'm not religious. I've not got the right background. I didn't get brought up in a Christian family like Harrison or Naomi. If you knew my past, if you knew what life has looked like for me, you know it'd be pretty messed up. My life's a mess right now. Jesus wouldn't be interested in me at all. It's not even worth starting this. Zacchaeus was an incredibly unlikely candidate for someone who got to know Jesus. But he wanted to see him, and he met him. Now remember, there is one thing commendable about Zacchaeus. He was resourceful. He was determined to see Jesus. And he didn't let anything stand in his way. Whether that was his own lack of height or the crowd, he ran and he climbed a tree, which was not very dignified for a man in that culture. But he was determined to see Jesus for himself. And I really want to encourage you to not let the crowd put you off when it comes to Jesus. To not let other people tell you, well, Jesus isn't relevant as we get into the 21st century. You may investigate that and conclude that for yourself, but do that for yourself. Find out about Jesus Christ. Don't rely on second-hand info about Jesus. Don't get the Wikipedia version of Jesus, but read for yourself, discover for yourself who Jesus is. So the kind of person that Jesus gets to know, an unexpected inquirer, the kind of connection that Jesus makes, an unexpected invitation. What was Zacchaeus hoping for this day? Well, he was hoping just to get to see Jesus. And he gets to do that. Jesus is walking along. If Zacchaeus was there today, up in that tree, I'm sure if he had his smartphone, he was there taking a picture as Jesus walks by. But Jesus does so much more than Zacchaeus expected. Jesus stops, verse 5 tells us, and then speaks to Zacchaeus and says, "Zacchaeus, come down, I must stay at your house today." And how Jesus knew about Zacchaeus, we're not sure, we're not told, but however he did, Jesus invites a deeper connection. Zacchaeus had hoped, hadn't he, just to be able to see Jesus, and now he gets to meet him. And the text shows us just how excited Zacchaeus is about that. Verse 6, he came down at once and he welcomed him and he did that gladly. Zacchaeus got so much more than he expected. About a month ago now, the Super Bowl took place over in the States. It's the biggest game in the calendar for American football followers. And the halftime entertainment show between the halves is almost as big a billing as the game itself. And this year, the star of the show was Justin Timberlake, and various members of the crowd got to go onto the pitch, and they got to see Justin close up. But I want you just to have a look at this picture up on the screen now. This one boy, Ryan McKenna, 13 years old, in the middle of all of this, with 100 million people watching on TV, gets a selfie with Justin Timberlake. Now, I am sure that day, Ryan was dead excited about being at the Super Bowl. He was probably excited when he heard he was going to get down to go onto the pitch. But here he was having a selfie with the star of the show. An exciting day that exceeded his expectations. He thought he was going to see, and he got just briefly to meet. For Zacchaeus too, his expectations are completely exceeded. He was hoping to see Jesus. Now he gets to meet him. It looks, doesn't it, as we begin this story, that it's Zacchaeus who wants to find out more about Jesus. But do you see in this story, actually, it's Jesus seeking him out. It's Jesus looking for him. Let me say to you, without a shadow of a doubt tonight, Jesus wants to know you and wants to get to know you. When Justin Timberlake grabbed that selfie with Ryan and then went back off dancing, I'm sure Ryan thought that was the end of it all. But a few weeks later, Ryan was on a chat show and he was being interviewed about what had happened. And during the interview, Justin Timberlake calls up and he says, "I'd really like to meet you in person. I'm coming down to Boston where you live. I'd like to meet you and your family." Now, maybe with Justin Timberlake, that was genuine. Maybe it was good PR. Maybe it was both of those together. But we have got so much better than a global celebrity saying they want to meet us. Jesus is looking for you. He's seeking you. His invitation is to know him. That's his invitation to each one of us tonight. That Jesus, God's own son, God in skin and bone, says to us, "Yes, I want to get to know you, and I want you to be able to know me." I don't know what your life story has been, who you are, but I know this about you, that God is interested in you and wants to know you, whoever you are. And Jesus wants you to know him. It's interesting to see what the crowd say at this point when this invitation comes. Did you pick it up in the reading? Verse 7, the people saw it and began to mutter. They grumble. They can't believe that Jesus wants to spend time with Zacchaeus. "Jesus, don't you know who this guy is? This guy is bad news. You should choose your friends more carefully." Notice how they describe him. He is a sinner. A sinner. And do you know what? The crowd were absolutely right. He was a sinner. But what the crowd don't realise is that they were too. They were as well. The crowd thought what people often think, that God is only interested in the good people. And it looks like the crowd thought, well, at least we're better than this guy Zacchaeus. We're better than him. But friends, all of us in this room, whatever else is true of us tonight, we're all sinners. We have all come short of God's standards. We've all got things that we've said, things that we've done, and things that we've thought that we're ashamed of. And if we don't realise that, if we don't come to terms with that, then we won't know that we need Jesus at all. We won't know we need anyone to forgive our past or fix our present. Jesus doesn't only want to get to know us and us to know him, but he wants to change us from the inside out. And we'll see that happen to Zacchaeus in a moment. But can I ask you, are you honest enough tonight to admit who you really are, to recognise we're not even who we want to be, let alone what God wants us to be? That we've hurt others, that we have a conscience that reminds us continually of things we've said and things we've done that we're ashamed of. That one day, whether we have been rolling in money like Zacchaeus or whether we've barely got 2 pennies to rub together, that all of us will die and leave this world and we'll have nothing to our name. That one day all of us will get to meet God face to face and give account of how we've lived. And that if we accept that reality, then we'll realise we need to make peace with God. We need to get to know Jesus while there is still opportunity. So the kind of invitation that Jesus makes, let's think lastly about the kind of change that Jesus brings. The final scene of the story comes verses 8, 9 and 10, and there are 2 speeches here, one from Zacchaeus and one from Jesus. Zacchaeus goes first. He says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." What did this encounter with Jesus, what did his time with Jesus lead to for Zacchaeus? Well, it led to a change of heart. It led to generosity. It led to a desire to put things right. The law of the day said that when funds have been taken, when there had been defrauding taking place, the money that had to be returned was the original money plus 20%. But Zacchaeus says here he'll pay back 4 times the amount. Some of you here tonight come regularly into a church building. You do know a bit about who Jesus is. You know what he's about. But you've only got a vague connection to Jesus. Knowing Jesus hasn't made a lasting difference to you. You come to services, but you walk out each Sunday unchanged. And the reason I know that is because if you really come to know Jesus, it will lead to generosity, inevitably. Why does it do that? Why does knowing Jesus lead to generosity? Because of Jesus' generosity to us. Because of Jesus' generosity of wanting to know us despite the way we've treated God. Of his generosity of forgiving our past without us having to make amends for that ourselves. When we know Jesus' generosity to us, it inevitably leads to generosity to others. But it's so important just to see the order here. It is Jesus' generosity first and then our generosity second. Perhaps the biggest misunderstanding from people today about Christianity is that you have to be good enough. You have to be good enough, when actually it is the complete opposite. To be a Christian, you have to realise you're not good. You're not good. That you've got nothing to offer. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," referring to himself, "came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus is saying, "Zacchaeus, today, you thought you came looking for me, but actually it was me looking for you because you were lost. Zacchaeus, you were lost." When are we lost? Have you ever been lost as a kid or lost and you can't find your way? You just can't find your way home. And Zacchaeus was lost. He couldn't find his way back to God. He needed Jesus to come and find him. And when Jesus found him, he turned his life upside down. This guy began the day as a thieving tax collector, and now he's a generous benefactor. It's not our generosity that somehow makes God generous to us. It is God's generosity that liberates us to be generous. That's at the heart of Christianity. Not God accepts good people, but that God takes us as we are and then transforms us. Are you interested in that tonight? Does that pique your interest? Are you sat here thinking, "I would long to change"? I know life is a mess. I know I'm not living as I want to. Do you long to experience God's generosity? Do you long to see life transform? Well, Jesus' invitation stands today. Jesus is still seeking lost people. And if we stop hiding and if we stop running from him, then he will find us. Come and chat with me. I'll be out in the foyer just as you leave if you want to talk more about how that could happen. There's a room of people here who've had their lives changed just as Naomi and Harrison have. There is a God waiting to find you. On Friday, the memorial service of Billy Graham took place. Billy Graham, for those of you who don't know, died aged 99, and he was perhaps the most famous preacher of the past century. The President and Vice President of the US were both there at the memorial service on Friday. And each of Billy's five kids shared their reflections of him. But it was a reflection of Ruth, one of his daughters, that most struck home with me as I listened. Ruth's marriage had fallen apart. She got divorced and she moved to a new place to start over. And she met another man in the new church that she'd been to, and a relationship quickly developed. And the family all cautioned her about it. They were concerned it was all too quick. They weren't sure this was good for her at all, but she ignored the warnings and she married the man, I think on New Year's Eve. And Ruth said, as she testified in the memorial service, within 24 hours, she knew it was a mistake. Just weeks later, it had all fallen apart. And as she drove back to the family home, she came round the bend in the road to the house, and there was Billy Graham, her father, waiting for her. And Ruth shared that her father didn't scold her or shame her, but he held her and he said, "Welcome home." She said that day, more than anything else, her father's love pointed her to the love of her heavenly father. Zacchaeus was lost and Jesus found him. Ruth Graham was lost and her father and heavenly father welcomed her home. Naomi and Harrison have both been found by Jesus. He came to seek and to save, to find those who were lost, people just like you and just like me. There's a Saviour who's looking for you tonight. And if you want to know more about how you can meet with him, and how you can come to him, come and chat with me afterwards. But let's pray before we sing our final song. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you came to seek and to save, not the together people, not the people who were all sorted, not the people who were making it well on their own, but to seek and to save the lost. Father, thank you that many in this room can testify to that, can testify to the way that Jesus came.